This week, I have a really big treat for you, my beloved Mainly Moonology podcast listener. I'm talking to one of the most amazing astrologers on the planet, Rick Levine, and we are talking about the move of the lucky planet, the so-called lucky planet Jupiter.
Welcome to the Mainly Moonology podcast. I'm your host, Yasmin Boland, an award-winning astrologer and the Sunday Times best-selling author of books including Moonology and creator of the Moonology Oracle Cards. My intention for this podcast is to help you understand how you can create your dream life using Mainly Moonology, the moon, as your guide.
So we're talking to Rick Levine this week, who you may know from his work with StarIQ.com. You may know him from Tarot.com. He is honestly one of the most amazing astrologers on the planet. And as I said, it's not just me that thinks that. It's pretty much everybody. If you go to an astrology conference, Rick's sort of walking down the corridor and all these people are running after him like, Rick, 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 because he is amazing. Welcome, Rick. I'm just going to tell everybody about you, okay? So Rick's philosophy is simple. Astrology is a tool for empowerment, understanding, and creativity. His unique approach to astrology combines astrology and spirituality, science and religion, and the head and the heart. And I can just say, you know, when I was first learning astrology, Rick was one of the people I would listen to him all the time because he does this thing called Planet Pulse. And it really informed my approach to astrology. And I think I understand why now. So founding trustee of Kepler College, he co-authored Barnes & Noble's annual Your Astrology Guides from 2006 to 2013. So you may know him from that. He also has an online daily horoscope column. Oh, actually, I don't think you do it anymore, do you? It reached millions and millions of people for years, over 20 years. And he is now very big on YouTube. So we'll give you his YouTube address in a minute. He's also been awarded International Astrologer of the Year. I was there when that happened. That happened in India at a conference. He's had awards for astrological excellence, and he's also been voted the favorite social media content creator. So, Rick, welcome to the show. You are amazing.
Well, it's lovely to be here, and you can't just throw the word amazing at me without me throwing it back at you. Nice to be with you again.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Rick. Yes, this is not the first time that Rick's been on the show. In fact, when he was awarded his award for Best International Astrologer,
That's
we were
right.
at a conference in India.
And, in Calcutta.
And I asked Rick, would he come on my podcast, which was this podcast, but in a much earlier form, which he did. And we talked about the coming new moon. And I swear to God, I'd been doing astrology for about 20 years by then. And I even learned from that chat that we had. You just gave me so many amazing ideas. And I'm just going to repeat the thing that never left me that you said in that podcast. And this is just for all the other Cancerians out there in the world like me. So if you're Cancerian, this is for you. Rick said, one of the reasons why Cancerians can often be a little bit insecure, because we're very well known as being a little bit on the insecure side from time to time, as well as being wonderful in so many other ways. He said, think of a crab on a rock on a beach and the tide is going in and out and the crab is never quite sure. Is it going to be taken away by the tide or is it going to survive another lap from the waves? And to me, that was just pure genius. So thank you, Rick. I am a big fan.
Well, as the proud owner, well, not owner, rentor of a Cancer moon that I have, it's really intriguing because people forget that the most nutrient-rich place on the entire planet is what we call the intertidal zone, that place where the tide comes up and down and up and down every day, but the tide is always in transition. And if you're not hypersensitive to which way the wind or the tide is blowing, you can either get left high and dry or swept away with the tides. And this is another reason why Cancerians are often so connected to their family of origin, their mom, their home, because the home is really like our hard outer shell. It's what protects us from the changing tides of society. We always have our home and our family for a secure cancer to pull in behind that shell and go home.
Yeah, and that's why I think for cancerians as well, or people with strong cancer placements, it's so devastating if home isn't a safe space as well.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah. Yeah, no, really interesting. We could talk about cancerians forever.
We could talk about any sign forever.
We could indeed. But we had a quick chat before we came on air. I just invited Rick on because I wanted to speak to some of my favorite astrologers over the next few weeks on the podcast or the next few months. And so we had a quick chat. What should we talk about? Because with Rick, you could pretty much pick anything. We decided to talk about something very big that's happening in May, which is the move of the planet Jupiter into the sign of Gemini. Now, just to be really specific, that is happening on, I believe, May 26th. Which, funnily enough, is the day that the sun will be on Algol normally. So shall we first of all, Rick, define our terms. Let's talk about Jupiter. I said to you before we came on air, my issue with all this as well is that I'm very much connected to the feminine. And I feel like this thing is just so masculine. Jupiter just feels like so masculine. And even Gemini just feels so boyish, you know. Let's talk about Jupiter and maybe a little bit touching on that funny feeling I have around this.
Well, I don't think it's a funny feeling, and I think it's touching on something else that's quite significant, because between 2023-24 and 2026, all the outer planets move from what are classically known as feminine signs into masculine signs, because Saturn moves from Pisces into Aries. Neptune moves from Pisces into Aries, Pisces being a feminine sign. That's not boy-girl necessarily. It's yin-yang. It's feminine, masculine energetically.
Yeah.
But Saturn and Neptune are both in Pisces moving into Aries. We have Jupiter, as you said, in May, toward the end of May, moving from Taurus, a Venus-related feminine Earth sign, moving into Gemini, another masculine sign. Then we have Uranus moving from Taurus into Gemini, following that up the following year. But we also have Pluto, having just spent a decade and a half in a feminine sign Capricorn, moving into a masculine sign Aquarius. Because according to Plato, the difference between spirit and soul in many ways is the difference between masculine and feminine in signs. Spirit is fire and air, and it's upward moving, whereas the water and earth is soul, which is spirit encapsulated in the body, which is inward and downward. I think you're absolutely correct in observing the fact that as Jupiter moves from Taurus into Gemini, in some ways it's a bellwether, it's a harbinger of a much larger change that's going on from the feminine to the masculine energy.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Let me just pause the podcast for a moment to mention that this month of May brings some amazing energies with Jupiter moving into the sign of Gemini for the first time in more than a decade. And it means something different for everyone, regardless of your star sign. It's actually a time for feeling into your luck, for luck expansion, you could say, and actually for wishes coming true as well. If you're a part of my Mainly Moonology membership, we are coming together on June 3 at 5 p.m. UK time to talk about how this transit can affect you and how you can make the most of it. If you're not a member but you'd like to join, head on over to mainlymoonologymembership.com and join the wait list to join our very, very magical group. So let's talk about Jupiter on a really basic level, okay? Because I reckon I'm going to put the word luck in the title of this podcast because that's something people like to know. Where am I lucky? So let's talk about luck. I see
All
you
right,
kind of nodding your head
what it made me
or shaking
immediately
your
think,
head.
it immediately made me think of Thomas Jefferson, who is an American who is considered to be the author of the Declaration of Independence. Interestingly, he was an Aries. You would expect an Aries to write a Declaration of Independence. But Thomas Jefferson said, "The more I prepare, the luckier I seem to get."
Oh, he said that.
That he did.
I've heard that so many times. I even used that in my own life. I didn't know
Yeah.
Thomas
So
Jefferson said that.
Jupiter does have a reputation of being lucky, but Jupiter's job is really quite simple. Jupiter's like a cosmic magnifying lens. Jupiter's primary job is to make anything and everything larger, bigger, better, more. Now, that sounds good on paper, and it usually is good. Jupiter is an easy planet to leave a trace of positivity in your life because more is typically a good thing. But if you have a malignant, tumor in your body, more is not necessarily a good thing for that. And in fact, it goes all the way back to Hippocrates, which is the Greek who's every practitioner of modern medicine takes the Hippocratic oath. Of course, they forget the part that he wrote, that part of his oath was that no one should practice medicine without knowledge of the stars. That kind of was dropped
Oh.
off. But Hippocrates also said something else very important. What he said was that any tonic in excess is toxic.
You're right.
And so what that means is that although Jupiter is considered to be a good planet, the Greeks called it the greater benefic. I think of
Yeah.
it as the cosmic good guy. It does leave a path of opportunity, of opening, of bigness, of largesse. It's expansive. It's like blowing up a balloon, and you except when you blow up a balloon, like a balloon blowing up, Jupiter can only expand to Saturn because Saturn is the next planet outward. Saturn is the limit. And when Jupiter tries to expand beyond Saturn, if you blow that balloon up, what happens to it? It pops. It so Ju the danger of Jupiter is too much, or too much too fast, or excess. And so if we can keep that in check when we're living through Jupiterian energies, then Jupiter has a payoff. But if we expand too much, too far, too fast, then there's the negative price to pay.
Yeah. And I love the way you put that because, yet again, you're kind of just giving me a context to something I've thought for so many years, which is whenever I write about Jupiter, because I usually will write about Jupiter every time it changes signs. And I always say, just be aware, though, that you can't just think everything's going to be fine because otherwise Saturn will come up and whack your butt.
That
So.
exactly. Excess is always followed by constriction. Mae West, the American film star, bawdy film star of the 20s and 1920s, 30s, 40s, she once said, "Too much of a good thing is a good thing." Except that's not true.
Yeah. And let's just briefly touch on what I mentioned to you again before we hopped on air. Robert Hand, probably, one of the most legendary astrologers of all time, who's now in his 80s. And I think, does he live in Maryland, Virginia, somewhere around there? Amazing, amazing
I think he's
guy.
living in Las Vegas. He's in the United States. He's living in Las Vegas. But I refer to Rob, who I've known for some 35 years now. I refer to Rob as the academic dean of astrology.
He is indeed. He absolutely is. And so I was at a workshop, I think it was the Faculty of Astrology workshop about 20, 25 years ago. And I am 99% sure that he said, and I'm just going to put on an American accent, so please don't anybody be offended, because he did say it like this: there's no such thing as a bad Jupiter transit. And I was like, Okay. So I had that in my mind for a very long time, but now I'm questioning it, not least because in so many ways, the pandemic seemed to be slightly kicked off very almost predictably textbook astrology when we had the Jupiter-Pluto conjunction, which,
So
at its
remember, Pluto
worst, can
is,
mean lots of
but
death.
Pluto, but Pluto, yeah, Pluto is the underworld. Pluto is that which is hidden. Pluto is an infringement of boundaries on life of death. And so when the magnifying lens is on Pluto, stuff comes to the surface that was not necessarily there. And, the deeper meaning or things that we have to deal with from the whole, COVID experience may not have been just the virus. It was also the geopolitical, global political response and the control, of it. And so there certainly was a Jupiter-Pluto piece of that. But the thing about Jupiter in general is that Jupiter is easy to make good use from as long as you don't abuse it or go into excess or go overblown. You see, even the fact that Jupiter has to be logical is because you have to contain Jupiter with Saturn. In a way, for those people who know anything about astrology, there's a similarity between Jupiter and Neptune. And I know what it is. It's Neptune is Jupiter in drag. Neptune is Jupiter that's escaped from Saturn. Dad's not home. I can continue to expand. I don't have to be logical. I don't have to be concerned with boundaries. I can go and go and go and go, but
I love
Jupiter
that.
always has to answer to the structure.
I mean, to me, that's just mic drop.
All
Yes.
right, nice talking to you. I'll see you again in a few years. No, but
Exactly.
it's over. It's left home.
Yeah.
There is no limit to the imagination. Whereas to Jupiter, if you can't justify it, a good Jupiter word, if you can't justify your opinion, another good Jupiter word, then you shouldn't say it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
And
Jupiter
Jupiter, of
is the
course,
teacher.
is.
Remember, Sanskrit, Hindi for Jupiter is guru. And Jupiter is the teacher. But you have to respond to the containment of Saturn. So the other thing I find interesting about Jupiter is that it's a 12-year cycle, roughly.
Yeah. So
And
that, in other words, just for anyone, that means it basically takes 12 years to go around the zodiac. And so it won't have been in Gemini as it will be in May for about 12 years, just for anyone who
right.
doesn't
And
know.
since there are 12 signs in the zodiac, that means that Jupiter spends, there's a retrograde motion, which makes it a little bit fuzzier, but Jupiter spends about 1 year in each of the 12 signs. And
Yeah.
here's the interesting thing. If you have to pick one culture on the planet that's more Jupiterian than any other culture, it would be China, because Jupiter is about expanding beyond the person. It's about the social construct. It's about Confucianism, which is where the social, where the individual and the social meet. And that whole piece is very much the Chinese social structure is based upon the planet Jupiter. And you look at Chinese astrology, and what is it? It's a sign per year. That's what Jupiter's cycle is.
Yeah. And also China, I was there last month just very briefly, but I felt the energy really strongly. And you really do also feel that that place is contained by Saturn.
Oh, yeah. No, it's definitely the dance between Jupiter and Saturn. And so the thing about Jupiter
Yeah.
is that because it spends about 1 year in each sign, it stays there long enough for us to have to grow into whatever that sign is. And so we're coming out of,
Right.
a year of Jupiter in Taurus, where the focus has been on what our values are. On what worth, what's self-worth, what's morals, what's ethics, what's the monetary system? This whole thing about the changing monetary system into the cyber realms or whatever. In the United States, there were some bank collapses around the time that Jupiter moved into Taurus. But the point of the matter is that when we move from Taurus into Gemini, in a way, Jupiter is going to move from a physical realm, Taurus, where it's about food and money and things, into a realm where it's more about communication, where it's more about thoughts. It's more about intellect than it is about anything else. And I think that that's going to be a very important shift. And as we talked about before we went on, Jupiter moves into Gemini on May 25th or 6th, depending upon which side of the international dateline you're on. You know, you guys get it on the 26th. I, in the United States, get it on the 25th. But Jupiter makes a few very important aspects while it's moving through the sign of Gemini. And let's say a few words about Gemini, because Gemini is very fast. It's very facile. It's intellectually adaptable. Gemini is curiosity. It's movement of thought. I always think of Gemini as the information sluts of the zodiac. That, unlike Virgo, Virgo wants information, but it only wants the exact information that's useful, right, correct, truth. Gemini doesn't care. It just wants data. Just give me
Gemini
more information.
Gemini will read the cereal box.
Yeah. Gemini doesn't know the difference sometimes between fact and fiction. It's just another data point, more information. And so when Jupiter moves into Gemini for the year, which will be from roughly May 26th until early next June of 2025, in a way, Jupiter's going to open up our whole mental framework to this thinking process. And people might go, yikes, don't I have enough thought process going on already? Well, all I can say is you ain't seen nothing yet. Because when Jupiter moves into Gemini at the end of May, it right away is going to begin to pick up on a trine to Pluto, which has just moved from Capricorn, where it's been for about 15 years, into Aquarius. Aquarius, an air sign. Gemini, an air sign. And so Jupiter, instead of conjoining with Pluto, as it did during the height of the epidemic in 2020,
yeah.
Now it's going to be trining it, but it's not going to be in an earth sign, Capricorn, that's about restriction and holding back. Instead, it's going to be about future. It's going to be about technology. It's going to be about the transmission and of ideas and thoughts. And I imagine that we will see huge breakthroughs that are already in play where
yeah,
it comes
with AI.
First of all, it's AI, but the real words that we're going to hear, and you'll hear it first from me, is not AI, it's ASI. Because Ooh. AI is artificial intelligence, but
yeah.
The real culprit here is going to be artificial superintelligence, known as ASI. And that's going to change the name of the game.
Well,
if you think of artificial intelligence and you think of it now on steroids to the point that it is functioning on its own. It's not just intelligent, it's super intelligent. It's like it's left our building. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to happen. And I would say that there's another acronym, not just AI, but the other acronym that I think we're going to be experiencing a lot more as Jupiter is moving through Gemini, especially as it trines Pluto. And that's not only AI, but also ET.
Oh.
Both of those, I think, are going to become increasingly important.
Tell us more. What do you mean?
Well, this is a rabbit hole that we could spend lots of 20-minute segments on. But the short version is all over the world, there's more and more and more building not only evidence, but archetypes and governmental interactions with what seems to be non-terrestrial or extraterrestrial intelligence. And whether it comes from another planet or another galaxy or the future or who knows, or other dimensions, we don't know. Anyone who says they know doesn't know. But the point is that at least in the United States, there are laws now on the books that are requiring the government to disclose what they know, because it's obvious that governments around the world have been kind of hesitant to share information on what their experiences are because they're afraid of what will happen as far as social revolution or change when people realize that we may not be as alone as we thought we were. And I think that this process is not only likely, but from what's going on all around the world, I would say that it is inevitable. And I think that this is part of the Pluto movement through Aquarius. And as Jupiter moves into Gemini and trines, harmonizes with that Pluto in Aquarius, I think we're going to get some early waves on this. And I think there's another piece here that we have to understand is that even when planets change signs, like Jupiter spending a year in Taurus and now then going to be spending a year in Gemini from May of 2025, 24 through June of 2025, that these are part of larger cycles. Because although Jupiter spends a whole year in Gemini, rather than the Sun spending just a month in Gemini every year, right behind it is coming the planet Uranus.
Yeah.
Uranus is an 84-year cycle. Uranus spends 7 years in each sign, and Uranus is on its last year in Taurus. So right behind Jupiter moving from Taurus into Gemini, we're going to have Uranus moving into Gemini in early July of 2025. That's just a year and a couple months down the road.
Yeah.
And it'll be in Gemini then for about 7 years. And so I think that Jupiter's move into Uranus for this next year is like an early warning, getting us ready, opening our mind towards Uranus, which is going to come and camp out there for a while.
Which is going to be even more AI or ASI.
And at that time, Uranus will also be making 7 trines to Pluto from Gemini to Aquarius, like Jupiter will be making that trine coming up in early June. And I think also that we've just recently had a flavor of this whole event because we've just had Jupiter in Taurus lining up with Uranus in Taurus. And again, Jupiter is just expanding, magnifying, and amplifying, because that's what Jupiter does. And in all through the month of even late March, April, and even on into May, we're going to feel this kind of opening into the future that I think then will be magnified as Jupiter moves into Gemini, followed the following year by Uranus spending 7 years in Gemini.
Yeah. And the fact of Jupiter and then Uranus moving to Gemini and then Pluto also in Aquarius, it really is, for one thing, I can see where the ET idea of yours is coming from.
Oh, it's not my idea.
Okay. I must say, I hadn't thought of it, but I can completely get it. And also really AI or ASI, like it, you know, for anyone who's listening who doesn't know what I'm talking about, I'm sorry, it's quite hard to explain it, but it's basically got a really strong signature of that. Gosh, yes, amazing. So, Rick, just to finish off, for people who are listening and thinking, okay, that's all amazing, but what does it mean to me? You know, obviously the first thing to do is to cast your chart and find out where Gemini is in your horoscope, and then what? Like, you work out it's your home zone or your family zone. What are you going to tell people to look for?
Well, I mean, where Jupiter is moving through a chart is simply the area of our life. And again, it'll be in the sign of Gemini for everyone, but depending upon the time of year, time of day combination, the circumstances of our lives are dependent upon the houses. And so if Jupiter is falling, let's say, in your fifth house, which is related to areas of our life where we're creative or procreative, or, you know, some sort of expansion of ourself into, you know, into a creative realm, well, then that might be an area of our life that'll be important. But if Jupiter is moving through our sixth house, then it may be more focused and more about what our daily routines are. So we need to see where this Jupiter movement is. But I would say that for everyone, the same thing is going to happen. And that is that if you think things are moving fast now, hold on to your hat, or at least go find a hat and then put it on and hold on to it tight, because the winds of change are going to be speeding up and people are just looking for some safe harbor and for everything to return to the way it was. Well, it ain't going to happen. No. If I'm the harbinger of bad news, you know, Freud called that infantile regression. When things get tough, we want to go back to the past when we thought they were great. Well, things were not great when we thought they were great, and they're not going to be great just because we go into denial and hold things off. This is about moving into the future, and the Jupiter moving through Gemini will be an intellectual preparation for all of us. And what the only thing that I would have to say is that we all have our beliefs, we all have our opinions, and when Jupiter moves into Gemini, the best thing that we can do, maybe the only thing that we can do if we are to survive, is to be adaptable. It doesn't mean believe everything that comes into your sphere, but it means don't reject things that don't agree with what your perspective or point of view is.
Actually, that might be one of the best things. That might be one of the best things about Gemini is because, you know, we've had this serious polarization for the past, I don't know how many years. Yeah. Maybe we are all going to open our minds a little bit more. You know, maybe people are going to be more, there are going to be more discussions. Maybe AI will help us lead the discussions. One thing I see when I see Jupiter in Gemini as well is I just have this vision of everybody writing ebooks and ebooks just like flooding out into the world. Like everybody was going to want to get their stuff out that couldn't write about it before. We're just going to be overwhelmed with information from everybody. Everybody's, but maybe it's going to help us have conversations a bit better as well about, you know,
maybe,
your.
Maybe, but the flip side of that, of course, is so much data and so much information is not necessarily wisdom or heartfelt.
Yeah, I do agree. But at least if people converse, you know, instead of you Trump, me Biden, no talk, at least if maybe we can get people talking, I mean, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, but basically, yeah, I mean, I have a members area. I'm sure you do too. And in my members area, I will definitely be helping people delve in to where it is in their chart. Okay. I mean, yeah. And there's one other question I had. I'm just about all this. I mean, apart from I'd love to talk to you more about Jupiter being the sort of Neptune being the sort of conflato overexpanded Jupiter, which I just love that. And I can completely see that because, you know, Neptune goes in the realms of where if you let Jupiter go, just keep going without the Saturn stopgap, if it sneaks through, like, you know, it just gets there. That's so brilliant.
Jupiter and Neptune are the same planet, just divided by Saturn.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. So with the Jupiter harmonious, it's a trine, I think, to Pluto. Do you think that's going to be at all to do with putting the pandemic to bed finally? Or do you think the pandemic's gone to bed?
I don't think there's such a I think the use of the word the behind pandemic is incorrect because there have been viral epidemics, pandemics since the dawn of time, as far as we know it. And so I'm not sure there's such a thing as the pandemic, but I do think that there will be increasing viral downloads, whatever that means. I think that viruses are a way of transmitting information. And yes, they certainly can wreak havoc on, you know, on people who are already medically challenged and or can certainly be, you know, the cause for death. I'm not making light of this. But I don't think that we've seen the end of it, but I don't think that it's the pandemic. I think that there will be increasing waves of things that we will have to deal with in a world of hyper immediacy, of hyper simultaneity. And there's another piece in all of this, and that is as Jupiter is the early warning of moving through air, giving us a flavor of that, followed by not only Uranus moving through Gemini air, and of course Pluto being in Aquarius air, but by 25, 26, we will have both Saturn and Neptune moving through Aries, which is fire, and fire and air are harmonious and combustible together. And in fact, in 2026, 27, 28, we're going to see these sequences of Uranus trining Pluto with Neptune and Jupiter harmonized by trines and sextiles, and it's going to be an entirely different flavor. And I like to envision that the time that we've been in, maybe since the Uranus-Pluto squares of 2012 to 2015-ish, give or take a few years, that since that period of time, it's like melting malleable, beautiful copper and brittle but bendable tin together. And as you melt them together, you can form anything out of them, but as they cool, they eventually cool into the alloy bronze. And once they cool into bronze, it's done. You're not going to remelt it again. You're not going to reform it. That's the way it is. And we are at right now in 2024, even with Jupiter moving, or partly with Jupiter moving into Gemini, we are at the tail end of this period of moldability. And if everything seems very uncertain, it is. But through late 2024 into 25, 6, 7, that molten liquid metal will begin to cure. And as it begins to cure, things are not going to be as easy to change in another 2 or 3 years.
We get the new world.
One way or another, or both ways.
Yeah. So I just want to circle back to one thing you said then as well. Viruses are a way to download information. What does that mean?
Well, there's a whole school of thought that viruses are basically, that we get lots of viruses we don't even know we have, and that viruses evolutionarily are a way biologically that organisms communicate with each other and give them, it's almost like program updates. Like if you're online, you know, Microsoft or Apple will update your operating system and you won't even know what happened unless something's messed up and it screws up. And then you go, oh my God, this has caused a system crash. And there are many people who think that viruses have that function in evolution as being a carrier of new forms of information that have to be integrated into the system. I'm not selling that as the way. I'm just throwing that out there, that there are a lot of people who believe that.
Amazing. Okay. Well, it'll be interesting, especially with the whole ET angle as well that you've brought up. And so finally, Rick, second last thing, if you had to give one piece of advice to people listening to this, thinking, okay, well, what do I do with all this? What would you say? What would you tell your students? What are you telling your followers?
I would tell my students, and anyone who's listened to me online has heard me say it, because I end almost every monthly forecast, mid-month update, all my classes, all my lectures, I end with the same thing. And the line is, think cosmically, act locally. And here's the deal. Astrology is brilliant at helping us see into areas of the world or of our cosmos that we didn't know existed. It expands our thinking. It moves us to the outer limits. And so thinking cosmically is really important. It's not just thinking globally. It's pushing those thoughts out as far as we can. But unless we then act locally, thinking cosmically is just a waste. It does no use at all. So it's great to talk astrology and to talk about these cycles and so on, but then look in your individual life and think, what are the little things that I can do hour by hour, day by day, week by week, like priming the pump? What are the rituals? What are the practices that I can do locally in my own relationships with my parents, with my kids, with my work coworkers, with how I treat the environment, with how I treat people who I don't have anything to do with, waiters and waitresses and restaurants and so on? There is the key to how you make this stuff work. Think cosmically, but act locally.
I love that. Yeah, I have a theory that we astrologers are all a bit crazy because we're always thinking about, you know, the whole solar system. So it is really good.
Yeah, but I don't have that theory, because my theory is that every student who's ever studied with me knows that thinking cosmically is only the first half of the equation. We then have to apply it into our lives locally.
Yeah.
So I think my favorite astrological book for people who are still early enough in the process that their minds haven't been all made up yet, is a book that most people don't even know about it. It's in print. You can get it, you know, online. And it's written by Thomas More, who many people know through his books on soul. Thomas More is the guy who wrote Care of the Soul and Soulmates and The Reenchantment of Soul in Everyday Life. And he's written maybe 15 books all relating to soul. And before that, his first or maybe his second book, but before he became a very well-known publisher, a very well-known author, his first book was a book called The Planets Within. And the subtitle of that book is The Astrological Psychology of Marsilio Ficino.
Oh.
The Planets Within, The Astrological Psychology of Marsilio Ficino. Now, again, many people do not know about this book, and it is a magical book, and it's about the astrology of an astrologer who lived in the late, late 1400s. This would have been around the tail end of the Medici reign in Florence, Italy. And Marsilio Ficino is considered to be the invisible architect of the Florentine Renaissance. He was the court astrologer to three generations of Medicis, and he was the person who single-handedly translated Plato from Greek into Latin that hit the printing press and then basically eventually created the Protestant Reformation. He also translated what's known as the Corpus Hermetica from Greek into Latin, and he was like an important character because although he was an ordained priest, he also loved amulets and talisman, and he was an astrologer, and his astrology was not about prediction. It was about how do we use our knowledge of these maps to enrich our experience. He was, in effect, a Neoplatonic astrologer. Some people call him the first experiential astrologer, where he was really using astrology to widen and deepen our spiritual experience. The Planets Within by Thomas More.
Amazing. Well, I haven't read it. I'm definitely going to read it. So thank you for that amazing recommendation. So, Rick, tell us where people can find you.
www.ricklevineastrologer is just a single page site right now where you can get on my email list. I will not overwhelm you with marketing crap. I don't do that. But I'll keep you informed as to what new YouTube videos I have up and so on. I do a monthly forecast that right now is getting usually between 50 and 100,000 views a month. It's not for anyone. Wow. You have to be interested in astrology. It's like our conversation here. It's a little bit deeper than just a lot of, you know, glib answers to, you know, questions that people have. But that's published on the first of every month. I've been doing it for about 15 years now. And my YouTube channel is youtube.com/, and then it's the @, which is the new way that YouTube is doing it. So it's @RickLevine, youtube.com/@RickLevine. And going there, you can find my current YouTubes, my current YouTube shorts, and then the other page, the RickLevineAstrologer.com. I mean, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Thread, I'm on Twitter, I'm on EIEIO, I'm on Patreon. My Patreon is patreon.com/, what a surprise, Rick Levine. And I have a whole apprentice program and so on. I do a lot through Patreon, but a lot of that stuff is also available on Instagram and YouTube. So okay. If you can't find me on the net, there's something wrong with you.
And Rick, what star sign are you? I didn't even know.
Oh, I'm a Vegetarius with my moon in crises.
Okay.
I actually have a close conjunction of the Sun, Venus, Mars, and Mercury, all in mid-Aries, close to this eclipse that we had back on April 8th.
Before or after the 19th?
Say again?
Before or after the 19th degree?
My planets are all between 9 and 16.
Interesting. Okay.
But I also have my North Node at 26 degrees. So I have a ton of stuff in Aries, but my saving grace, dear Cancer woman Yasmin, is that I have a Cancer moon.
Yeah.
And I've had more than one people say, "Rick, I've known you a long time. If you didn't have a Cancer moon, you'd be a real asshole."
There you go.
And I'm not. I'm a very kind person. My
You
Cancer
are.
moon gives me that sense. And I have Gemini rising, so I can talk a lot.
And which degree is that, just out of interest?
Oh, they're all at 16.
Amazing. Okay,
Yeah,
cool.
my Pluto is trine my Aries stellium from Leo, and my Gemini ascendant is sextile my stellium from Gemini, and my moon at 16 also is partile square my sun at 16 Aries. So I got that mid Aries degree wired for sure.
Amazing, amazing. All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, thank me later. That was Rick Levine. Thank you, Rick, for being with us.
It's
So
always a
good.
pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
And I look forward to seeing Gemini, Jupiter and Gemini playing out, and hopefully having you back on the podcast someday.
Thank you for listening to the Mainly Moonology podcast. If you want to take moonology to the next level and manifest the life of your dreams, join our growing community of magical people who come together to lift each other up as we meditate, manifest, and reclaim the magic that has been inside us all along. Head over to mainlymoonologymembership.com and awaken your true powers. Thank you for listening to the Mainly Moonology podcast. If you want to take moonology to the next level and manifest the life of your dreams, join our growing community of magical people who come together to lift each other up as we meditate, manifest, and reclaim the magic that has been inside us all along. Head over to mainlymoonologymembership.com and awaken your true powers.